Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. You can find him online at columbusconstructiontrades.org. And we bring Dorsey to the table to give us an update to what's happening in Central Ohio and how it translates to job creation. Hey, Dorsey, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me again. How's everybody up there this afternoon in Cleveland, Flash?
We're all wet. We're all wet.
Same here in Central Ohio. I'm not saying we've got a lot of rain, but on my way in this morning, I saw a duck in a rowboat. So that's how wet it is here.
You know, it was funny, too, because last Sunday, it was like almost 85 degrees. And we figure, oh, this is it. This is going to be fun. And then all of a sudden, it's like April went into March instead of May. But
yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Everybody okay after the draft? Happy with the draft?
You know,
what's your thoughts?
Everybody seems to be okay. Obviously, it would have been nice to get a quarterback in there, but there wasn't real. I mean, and Trubisky, I was thinking that maybe they could pick him up, but it didn't happen. He went to Chicago, as you know, in the second. It was the second pick.
Yeah.
But we've got some good players. We got the number one pick.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy about Myles Garrett. I'm happy about Jabril Peppers. I'm happy about the tight end.
Yeah.
Got some value later in the draft. DeShone Kizer, maybe somebody Hugh Jackson can work with and develop. So I thought it was a good draft. I thought they did really well. It seemed like they had their seemed like they were much more organized and committed to what they wanted to do this year than in years past, I guess.
Well, you know, this is a journey. This isn't going to happen overnight. And we should point out, too, Tom Brady was not a top draft pick, okay?
No,
he wasn't. So you never know what's going to happen with this guy Kizer. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yep, that's exactly right.
All right, and a big game tonight, game three for the Cavaliers. Boy, they were saving up for the playoffs, weren't they?
I think they were. It's like they flipped the switch, and they're playing really good team defense. I saw a stat today. This year's Cavaliers is the first team since the 1949-1950 Minneapolis Lakers to start off the playoffs winning their first six games two seasons in a row.
How about that?
So, yeah, they're 6-0. Got two more to finish up this series, and then conference finals, and hopefully the NBA finals. So
there you go.
That's what we'll be talking about the next time I'm on the show. Hopefully, he's getting ready for the NBA finals.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
I am too.
Okay, let's talk about what's happening down in Central Ohio. Tell me about this Franklin County Corrections Center, which I understand is a $145 million project. Is that right?
Yeah, for the last 4 or 5 years, the Franklin County Corrections Center has been in the design phase because the Franklin County Jail downtown is a little bit outdated. It's kind of archaic. You know, our county commissioners here and the design team want to get back. I don't want to say want to get back. They want to do more rehabilitation efforts, not just, you know, housing prisoners. And this definitely does that. It accomplishes that. And they're doing a lot of good things with the building of this correction center. Like I said, it's $145 million. They've done a great job acquiring the bonds, so there'll be no debt towards the county or taxpayers. Also, what they've done is they've seen the economic value that a project of this size can have in Columbus, Franklin County, and all of Central Ohio. So about 12 months ago, Commissioner John O'Grady came to me along with Commissioner Marilyn Brown, and they said, hey, this is what we want to do on this project. We want to have a project labor agreement. We want to accomplish a lot of things with this, and we want to have these conversations now so that way when we're ready, we can draw this up and go, and there's no holdup, and we can get this jail done. Because, you know, they obviously want to use the building trades people because they know skill, trained, quality, on time, under budget, done safely. I mean, we talked about the Hall of Justice that we did for the county commissioners about 3 years ago, which was completed, and it was about a $32 million budgeted project that came in a little over $3.5 million under budget, which allowed the commissioners to take that, put it back in the capital budget, do some other improvements that they wanted to do. And that's what they want to see with this Franklin County Corrections Center, too. But also what they want to do, and I think more and more communities, and we'll talk about this, more and more communities around Central Ohio are starting to get the idea that when you have these projects, you can use it as a huge economic booster, and you can accomplish a lot of things within your community. You know, not just build a building or build a jail or build a school. You can give back to the community, and that's what is also going to be going on with this project labor agreement is the Columbus building trades, which we've been doing since, you know, a long time, but we're going to make specific targeted outreach to not only Columbus City School students and residents and Franklin County residents to make sure that we achieve local hiring on this, but also we're going to have specific outreach to the Latino community, African-American community, and women. You know, we're starting to see a lot more women in the trades, you know, as women become, you know, the bread earners, mm-hmm. as they become the ones that that provide for their families, especially when it comes to health care and the rising health care costs. You know, not only do we have some of the best training programs anywhere in the United States, we also have some of the best health care and pension programs because we fund our own and we take care of our own. And that's a big draw to a lot of people within the community who have passed, maybe see college as an option or as affordable, but still want to have a career where they can make $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, mm-hmm. Earn a good living, have good health insurance to provide for themselves and their family, and retire with dignity.
Yeah. How are we looking when you talk about the skilled workers? And, you know, we're graduation season right now. Kids coming out of school, perhaps thinking about going into trades. And you hear so much about this trade shortage.
It's kind of funny, and I'll tell you something that'll make you laugh. But I was at a job fair a couple weeks ago, and this happens all the time. So a husband and wife with their son getting ready to graduate. You know, they're making their rounds through the job fair. You know, you have ROTC, you have the armed forces, you have the different colleges, and then you have, you know, the building trade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the mom comes up to me with the husband and the son and says, "Hey, what's this about?" And I said, "Well, I represent all the trades in Columbus Central Ohio, you know, the plumber, the fitter, the electrician, yada, yada, you know. Mm-hmm. Your son can come into our program. You know, he'll start off at a decent rate. He'll get yearly increases till he tops out, and then he'll make anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000 with a full benefit package." And she's like, "Nope." She's like, "My baby ain't digging a ditch for the rest of his life. He's going to college, and he's going to sit behind a desk." But then the dad chimes in, and the dad says, whoa, "Wait a minute! This is a free program, tuition free.
Yeah.
The only thing he has to invest is his time and his energy. He has to show up every day, work hard, pay attention, and do what he's told. And you're going to train him. You're going to educate him. You're going to give him college credit. And in 4 to 5 years, he's going to be making a good living wage. Let's talk more about this, honey, because the quicker I can get this kid off my payroll, the better." You know, and I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's amazing, you know. And that's some of the misnomers. We've talked about this on your show. We've got to do a better job at educating the public. You know, everybody thinks as a construction worker, you know, as somebody who's uneducated or unskilled or untrained, you know, dirty, you know, out right. in the ditches and stuff like that. And yeah, there is times when our guys do that stuff, but we also have a tremendous amount of skilled tradesmen in our programs that, you know, I have a cousin, I've told you this, it's in the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union, and he goes around and he does boilers and does air balancing and stuff and control work. Mm-hmm. I mean, a pair of pliers and a laptop is the only thing I've seen him carry in his last 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, because it's all electronic now. And he makes a very, very good living. He's very good at what he does. He's skilled. He's, you know, he's constantly going back to take journeyman upgrades and to be re-educated, and he doesn't have to pay for any of that himself. You know, Local 189 pays for all that, you know, so it's really, really good. Really, really good. And like I said, we have no better friends in Central Ohio than Commissioners John O'Grady and Marilyn Brown and Commissioner Kevin Boyce, too. And Kevin Boyce is the first African-American county commissioner elected here in Franklin County last year. He's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and he and I have had lots of conversations. And he's a product of Columbus City Schools, graduate of East High School, and he understands how important it is that we give back to the community we live in because, again, like we've talked about on your show, you know, I want the plumber in my neighborhood and the electrician in my neighborhood and the sheet metal worker and the insulator in my neighborhood working on my kids' schools because I know they're going to put a lot of pride and heart and integrity into that. And also, I want the members of my community, you know, I don't want them making $8 an hour. I want them making a good wage. I want them, you know, paying their fair share in taxes and helping out, you know, to carry the ball down the field. You know, that's what we're all trying to do, I think.
Absolutely. Boy, I'd like to know the the outcome of that conversation from that husband and the wife, because you could tell the guy was a bit frustrated.
It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it happens everywhere. And another story, you know, when we had our Columbus City Schools job fair a couple months ago, I told you we had over 275 students, and another a father brought his high school age kids. They were freshmen and sophomores, so he wanted to expose them to the building trades to give them plenty of time to make their decision. And he came up to me and he says, "Hey, man," he goes, "I was just over. My son's interested in the sprinkler fitters." And I says, "Yeah." He goes, "First year sprinkler fitter in Columbus, Ohio starts off at $15.65 an hour." And I said, "Well, yeah, it's a highly skilled trade, technical, licensed. Yeah, I mean, so they start off a little bit higher than some of our other ones, but yeah, that's about right." And he goes, "I've been at the same job for 11 years, and I make $13 an hour."
There you go.
He goes, "Can I apply, or is there an age?" I said, "No, absolutely you can apply. Absolutely.
Never too
absolutely.
Late.
Absolutely. No."
All right, Dorsey, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, we got some catching up to do on, let's see, this community benefit agreement at Fire Station Number 35 and also the Short North Market Tower. We'll get into that. And I want to talk a little bit about prevailing wage, too. Can we do that?
Oh, absolutely. Now's the time to talk about it while the budget's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Dorsey Hager.
We're Pew House and Senate, so this is a good time. You're right.
All right, Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. We'll continue the conversation with him. Also, Tim Murphy of Mother Jones Magazine talking about Donald Trump making socialism cool again. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
America's workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on AWFradio.com. Let's go back to our live line, rejoin Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Hey, before we get into this community benefit agreement, I want to talk briefly about prevailing wage. You and I had conversation about this guy. Was it Matt Huffman?
Yes.
Yeah, it was out of Lima where he wanted to knock off, eliminate prevailing wage on construction projects. And I had some data, too, from the Economic Policy Institute talking about wages, construction wages, when you factor in inflation. This is nationally, not just Ohio. They're pretty much flat. I mean, nobody's gone anywhere. You got 40 years of economic growth, but wages are essentially the same. They figure in 1970, the real average hourly earnings of someone in construction was about $26.17 an hour. Today, it's actually 20 cents an hour less, $25.97. And then when you throw in states with prevailing wage laws, the difference is about 20%. If you don't have prevailing wage laws, you have about a 20% decline in wages. So we don't want that to happen in Ohio. What's the status of that right now, Dorsey?
So, like we talked about, Matt Huffman introduced a bill in the Senate. He only got two other co-sponsors. I think it was Lou Terhar and Chris Jordan, which Chris Jordan's from outside of Delaware County, and he's pretty right-wing. But out of 33 members of the Senate, it's Huffman, Terhar, and Jordan are the three. So I think that's going to be put in committee. I doubt that gets out of committee. It doesn't look like it has a lot of support. The House is a little bit different. You have much more diversity in the House. A few more Tea Party members, a few more right-wing members. Christina Regner introduced her bill in the House to abolish prevailing wage. I think she had about 32 co-sponsors, and then it kind of stopped, and there was very little support. And then, which was very upsetting to us in the building trades, was the Speaker of the House, Cliff Rosenberger, decided to put his name on it. And as soon as he did, 12 more members of the House immediately signed on to garner support with the Speaker. So it's got a little bit more support in the House. It's going to go to committee. It's not there yet. I think they're trying to get through the budget first. As you know, they just voted the budget out of the House. Now the budget's going to the Senate. So we'll just have to be diligent. I think that we're going to be all right when it comes to prevailing wage. I don't think that they're going to be able to get those out of committee, but, you know, we can't sit on the sidelines and we got to be a participant. We got to get there and make sure that we hear testimony, we listen, we lobby, we discuss, and we educate. And that's what we got to do. That's what we got to do. And it's not surprising what you're saying about the wages. I mean, you know, like I said, I grew up, my dad was a union plumber and fitter, and I can remember in the early 80s going with him to buy a new car. I was 11 or 12 years old, and he was going through the financing, and the guy's going through and asking him the question. And he said, you know, what's your hourly rate? You know, what do you make? And my dad told him, and the guy stopped, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, you make more than a lawyer. And he goes, well, I used to be a lawyer. So, but those wages haven't kept up in the last 35 years, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not surprised by that report.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about this. What is it? Fire Station 35, and there's what they call a community benefit agreement on that?
Yeah, we were just talking about prevailing wage and the attacks on it, and a good friend of mine, Representative Jimmy Hughes, you know, he came to me 3 or 4 years ago when I got this job, and he says, we got to continue to educate members of the House because of term limits and the Senate and then the legislature, and the way to do that is to have open houses and to bring these people into your training centers. And we had one a couple of weeks ago. We had former Speaker Larry Householder there, Jimmy Hughes, all the members of Columbus City Council. I mean, it was amazing turnout, plus a lot of customers and users and community leaders, a lot of lobbyists, people that go downtown that want to understand what the building trades do, that lobby the legislature all the time. And, of course, my good friend here, Mayor Andrew Ginther, he called me a couple weeks before the open house, had his assistant call me, and she said, you know, the mayor would love to come in and speak about what he's doing for apprenticeship and also about the work that you guys have been doing on getting this community benefit agreement for Fire Station 35. And, you know, I'm not going to tell the mayor no. So absolutely, the mayor came in, spoke about the importance of our programs, spoke about this community benefit agreement. What the mayor wants to do is very similar to what the county has done with their project labor agreement on the Franklin County Correction Center. Is he wants to have he's going to call it a community benefit agreement. He wants to get everybody in the community involved. And we're going to make sure that everybody that's on that job is either enrolled in or has graduated from a joint apprenticeship training program. You know, all reputable contractors, skilled craftsmen. You know, we're going to have an emphasis on local hiring. And we're also, again, going to do that specific community outreach where we try to get Columbus City school kids and young adults into our programs, expose them to the work that can be done, these fire stations, these substations, these libraries, these schools that are in their communities, so that way they can see and they have an idea, you know, a path to the middle class, that they know that there's opportunities no matter where they grow up in the city or where they grow up in the county, that they can earn a good living, provide for their family, give back to their neighborhoods and community, and that's going to help everybody. You know, the old saying, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've got a lot of great advocates down at the legislature. We have a tremendous advocate here in the city of Columbus with Mayor Andrew Ginther and also the leadership of Council President Zach Klein. You know, we've discussed this with them when they both were on city council. And, you know, at the time it didn't get a whole lot of traction. But as soon as Mayor Ginther got in there, was elected a little over a year ago, the conversations really started happening. We've been patient. We want to make sure we do it the right way and we take care of it. He put a small subcommittee together led by Brian Clark, his chief of staff, and also Barry Pickett, the building trades liaison for the city of Columbus and the mayor's office. And we've had some meetings and we went back and forth. And I think we've got a document that's pretty good. And we're just waiting on the approval of the city attorney, Rick Pfeiffer, now. And then it'll be a go. And it looks like we'll have a community benefit agreement, the first project labor agreement ever in the city of Columbus on Fire Station 35 on the east side.
Boy, I tell you, it's good to have a seat at the table, isn't it?
If you're not at the table, if you don't have a seat at the table, you're usually the one being eaten. That's exactly right. It is great to have a seat at the table. And the thing is, too, you know, I think in the past, labor leaders in Central Ohio, you know, maybe have went, and this happens all over, maybe go and, you know, We want. And I think with our leadership here in Columbus and Central Ohio now, especially a lot of our newer managers and agents, you know, that's not always the case, you know. It's we're going to the table, you know, this is what we want, but this is how we can help, and this is what we can do for you. And, you know, there is no better driver of an economic engine or workforce development in Columbus and Central Ohio and the state of Ohio than our joint apprenticeship training programs. There just isn't one. The model is there. It's a perfect model. It works great. There's no taxpayer subsidies. You know, we self-sufficient, fund our own stuff. You just stay out of our way and let us do that, and let us, you know, get into these communities and recruit these kids and young adults, and we'll do good. We'll make good things happen, and yeah. I think people are starting to see that.
As it should be. All right, we just got have about 4.5 minutes left here. I just want to talk about this Short North Market Tower, Millennium Tower, and the Scioto Peninsula Redevelopment Project. What's happening there?
Tons of work. Scioto Peninsula Redevelopment Project, you're looking at, could be $800 million, could be up to $1 billion.
Whoa.
Millennium Tower downtown, 51-story high-rise, condos, mixed-use residential, some light commercial, restaurants, shops in the bottom. And then the Short North Market Tower, which is just north of High Street in the Arena District, 35-story high-rise, same thing, mixed-use commercial. So a lot of my effort, and I'm meeting with the CEO of the Short North Market here next week, and I'm trying to set up a meeting with Mark Woods, the developer and the owner of Woods Development, who's going to be doing the project Short North. But anything that we can do to get some of this work would be incredible. And Tim Berga, my friend, the leader of the Ohio AFL-CIO, he's working with the Building Investment Trust to try to get investments and money for the Scioto Peninsula project and also the Millennium Tower. If they can use financing through our pension programs, and our pension programs can see that it's a good rate of return, then that'll secure all that work for our union members and building tradesmen here in Columbus and Central Ohio. So those are the three projects that, you know, I've got the MOU done with the county jail, the correction center.
Uh-huh.
Got this community benefit agreement. You know, the only thing left to do, I think, is to put the ink on that. And this is my next focus, you know. The building tradesmen and our members, you know, we don't do as well on some of these developmental and mixed-use commercial as we should, and that's my next focus. That's what I'm going to try to do.
I love the name of that Millennium Tower. That's just going to be...
Yeah. Millennium Tower.
It sounds like it's going to be filled with millennials.
Exactly, and that's going to be my sales pitch. If you want this thing to stand through the next millennium, use our guys. It'll last, you know. So,
you know, I'm gonna have to make a trip down there, because that's pretty exciting. You've got a lot of projects, and some are already underway, some are being planned, but I'll tell you, the future looks pretty bright down there in Central Ohio, Dorsey.
It does, and again, it goes back to a lot of leadership for community leaders. Columbus is a great place to live. You know, the taxes are low. The cost of living is low. There's lots of opportunities and lots of different job sectors for everybody here in the city and in the county. And I think that's attracting a lot of young people, and I think it's keeping a lot of people here that graduate from college. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. It's a good thing. Very good thing.
I love it. I love it. All right, Dorsey, thank you so much for your time, your dedication. Keep those meetings going. Again, it's important that labor has a seat at the table. We were just talking yesterday with Sherrod Brown about renegotiating the NAFTA deal, and he pointed out, let workers be part of that discussion, too, because they're the ones that are affected. And that goes in line with everything today when you think about it.
That's absolutely right. You're absolutely right. One last thing, quick shout out to Sherrod Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Also want to give a shout out to Senator Rob Portman for standing up on that atrocious health care bill that the House passed yesterday out of Congress. Portman and Brown have already tweeted that they will not support that bill in the Senate. Of course, Sherrod has several issues with that bill. Rob Portman's biggest issue with it is it does not do enough to stop the opioid crisis in Ohio. So kudos to both those, and I hope that I know they will. I hope they stand by their loyals, but I know they will, and they stop this terrible legislation that came out of the House yesterday.
Well, you're not kidding. It's atrocious. It really is. All right, Dorsey, you take care. We'll talk to you in a month, okay?
All right, you too. Thank you so much. We'll be talking about the NBA Finals next month when we get together.
All right, go Cavs. Dorsey Hager, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. Do check them out online, columbusconstructiontrades.org. Boy, they are on fire down there. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Tim Murphy talking about Donald Trump making socialism cool again. You are listening to America's Workforce.